You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Greetings, friends. It's your boy, Joe Thrashenkill. I'd like to offer maybe a little advisory before going into this episode. We have our friend Metal.Tex on from Twitter. Brennicide is here. 365 is here. And this show is just kind of a mess. There's a number of factors here, including number one, us recording two episodes back to back, this being our second one. Everyone might be a little drunk, except for 365 because he's straight edge. And my dog went as hard as he could to ruin as many takes as possible. So this is an episode. It is up to you to decide whether or not it's a good one. You know, that's in your hands now. I would like to say, though, that the music on this show, top notch. We're going to open things up with a little band called Solanum. This song is called Control. And then we're going to close out the show with a brand new track from Couch Slut. So if the banter isn't up to your standards, at least we got the jams. All right, let's get into it. Joined by a very special guest. If you've ever used Twitter and you are familiar with the genre of heavy metal, you've probably seen Metal.Tex's work. We have him with us on the show today. Metal.Tex, please tell us a little bit about what you do.
Hi, hey, hi, hello. I quote reviews of heavy metal and post them on Twitter for myself and other people to laugh at because they're usually really stupid. So I find funny quotes from Icelandic medieval hymn metal. And yeah. It's mostly metal. It's mostly metalarchives.com because there are like 80 new reviews a day on there from the psychopaths that post on Metal Archives.
The best thing about Metal Archives
endless
is
material.
No, there's no barrier to entry to review something on Metal Archives.
There's also no barrier to entry to have a band get posted on there.
Well, there's like weird distinctions of what is and is not metal. So they make like a weird distinction of things. So you end up with a band that recorded one metal thing 15 years ago, but then people are reviewing like the new Ulver album, which is which they haven't been metal since I was like 5 years old.
Yeah, they from what I know, they have this enormous sticky thread on their forum that's kind of like
I bet it's
like a technical. It is very sticky. It's just crusted, and it's it's this massive super thread of just like it's kind of like a technical support to find out why your band or a band that you submitted didn't get in onto the archives, and
declared not metal.
It's right. It's a treat. You read it and it's just like, this is not technically metal. It is post rock poserdom, and we will not share it on our site. And people will argue with the admin, and it's always a treat.
Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite site on the internet because I can read weird power metal reviews and then also click the random band button and get like Finnish teenagers with corpse paint on. It's endless entertainment.
Yeah, I keep running Alexa comparisons to see like how Toilet of Hell stacks up against like literally every other site on the internet. If I meet somebody I don't like and they have a website, I like to basically measure my dick against theirs with Alexa. But one of the,
that's healthy.
Yeah, definitely. Metal Archives is one of the most trafficked sites like in music. It's pretty great. Today we brought you on because I wanted to talk about something very special to my heart, at least, and that is a long running site called Death Metal Underground. Yeah, I'm actually gonna like put the sound of like a lot of farting in right there.
Good. Yeah.
What you should do is you should put in just every time we say Death Metal Underground, you should use the sound effect for Ren and Stimpy when they do really close ups of people's disgusting faces. Oh!
I might actually do that. You kind of have a policy in that you don't quote things from Death Metal Underground. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's that they're not funny. that's basically it. I mean, it's run by a bunch of Nazis too, which isn't cool, but it's mostly because it's not funny and it's just really dry and boring and they only review like death metal from 1993.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I see, and I get where you're coming from with this, but I respectfully disagree, because what I see when I read Death Metal Underground, I only see it when somebody's like, hey, do you see this fucking bullshit, is just the most pants-shitting reactionary babies on Earth. Like, it rivals anything that, like, the extreme right-wing conservatives on Twitter put out, just with how angry they are with the world and how hard they shit their britches on a daily basis. So I think it's kind of fun. Just to give a little backstory, Death Metal Underground claims to be one of the longest running, I guess, metal publications on the internet. They claim that it started in the 80s on a bulletin board system. And the founder, Brett Stevens, who is an actual fucking Nazi, you know, his run it ever since then. It's kind of a lie. It's not entirely true. If you go back to the earliest archives of the site, it has like one or two posts from 1997, and then it suddenly skips forward to 2004, you know, when every other site on Earth had started their online presence, and they had been there for a good long time. But the two key characters I'd like for us to talk about today are, number one, Brett Stevens, the founder of the site, who is, and I repeat, an actual fucking Nazi. And another character, Daniel Morat, who is, as I put this earlier when I was talking to Brenicide, the Paul Joseph Watson to Brett Stevens' Alex Jones, and that he just really wants to suck daddy's dick so bad.
I don't know what either of those references mean.
I envy you so deeply.
How? we'll do an InfoWars learning guide on another episode.
Cool.
For today, I don't know, Breno, you got some thoughts?
Breno, I suppose, yeah. I was kind of excited for this podcast because I've just sort of seen Death Metal Underground in patches, and I didn't realize that they were around for a really long time. They've only kind of come up on my radar recently, so I was operating under this guise that they've just sort of really come up over the last couple of years with the political climate that we've been dealing with in this country. I've been just kind of scrolling through, and it didn't take me long. I'm pretty much the first page I hit, I found these two articles that I just absolutely had to share. I don't know if you want me to go ahead and do that, but I got some up here that I'd be happy to recite from. And both of these are from our good buddy here, Daniel Morat, which I don't know if that's his real name or if that's some kind of a strange moniker. Morat, if you actually Google Morat, the only reference I find is like it's a part of the name of some city in Syria. So I'm just going to assume it's probably his real name. But we're going to call him Daniel Mallrat from here on out because I think he'd find that quite endearing and, you know, a little closer to his personal standards of living. So the first review is White Death by the band White Death. And this was released in 2017. As far as I've ever heard from this band, White Death, it's funny that Metal Text brought up Finnish children that wear corpse paint, because literally this is exactly this band. If you Google them, you guys will find some of the funniest photographs of a black metal band performing live you will ever see in your entire life. I strongly suggest you share at will once you see these, because they belong on 365's band promo of the day that we have on our special little forum there. So anyway, here we go. This is our buddy Daniel talking about White Death. White Death turned black metal into pop rock on their self-titled album, White Death, for scenesters who want to be tough and are mad that black metal songwriting was based melodic narratives. That's set in context, was based melodic narratives instead of hooky pop sing-alongs like Gothenburg metal. White Death aimed to reach out to that group of scenesters who used to shop at Hot Topic back when they were teenagers. White Death even have an edgy Finnish nationalist theme to go with their generic, nondescript Satanism. There's an exclamation point. Satanism! Scenesters don't have to want to send the world back to the Dark Ages anymore. They can drink beer for the evil and chant sing-alongs about the 5 foot 3 inches Simo Haya shooting hundreds of frostbitten Ivans. Another exclamation point. Wait. White Death's the word, I swear to God, it's the word wait. White Death's lyrics are not even about the winter war, just generic mall Satanism. Okay, now I understand the entire fucked up ridiculous sentence in context. Wait, there should be a comma. White Death's lyrics are not even about the winter war, just generic mall Satanism, the Auntie Anne's pretzels of evil.
I mean, that sounds fucking great to me. I love it. I love Auntie Anne's.
So, 5 out of 5 stars, Auntie Anne's pretzels of evil. Get the new White Death, everybody.
Yeah.
And there's more. I don't know if you guys want to hear more where we've gone this far, so I'll just give you one more quick paragraph and we'll move on. White Death's riffing is a generic pastiche of black metal's past. You have heard everything here 1,000 times before. Mayhem, Gorgoroth, Enslaved. So, he's saying that it's like fucking pop rock black metal, but then it references like the black metal bands. I don't know what this guy's on about. And Sorcière de Glace, I can't pronounce that. I'm not I'm not with it. Are all bent over and beaten with a crowbar into hooky sing-alongs with Cradle of Filth vocals for appeal to everyone in the audience with eyeliner and nail polish who question their masculinity is toxic at some point. White dead are so soft, they make 1993 Isan with his greasy mullet and school shooter trench coat seem like he was in the Cro-Mags. I had to finish it with some sort of accent because clearly this guy's not speaking fucking English as a usual language. But I just, what insanity. Is there a review in here at all? And I take issue with melodic narratives.
I hate music, man.
Isn't a melodic narrative like a song? See, this is why I fucking hate black metal, is because everything is, number one, that White Death record sounds exactly like...
Exactly.
Every other black metal record. And number two, it's never enough for an edgelord. It's got to be somehow not what they have in front of them because they're constantly unhappy with their own shitty little fucking lives.
Oh my god, exactly. It baffles the mind what sonically these guys approve of and disapprove of. Like you could put both of these bands, the ones they hate and the ones they like, right next to each other, play them one after the other, and you'd be fucking sure you heard the same fucking album. I don't know why they would hate on something like this and then approve of the next fucking thing. Pardon my French.
Especially since they said they have an edgy nationalist theme.
I mean, that's yes. Kind of...
I mean, that's right up their alley.
They're on the same team, even, and it's just not good enough.
See, that makes me feel a little bit better.
As someone that's wearing nail polish and eyeliner right now, it sounds great. I could leave the white nationalism out with the pool. I'm interested to hear more about this war on winter. not sure what that is. As a Californian, I don't fully grasp the concept, really.
Well, White Death's lyrics are not even about the Winter War. I'm assuming... White Death is in reference to Simo Haya, who is this really phenomenal sniper who took out tons of Ivans! ! by himself with his like scopeless farmer's rifle. He just killed thousands of these guys to a point where they actually had to carpet bomb his area to try to get them. Still didn't kill him. It blew his part of his face off, but he still went back to war and kept doing it. Simo Haya is a cool dude as far as I can tell, but these guys are not.
This makes me feel a little bit better though, that knowing that these white nationalist types and Nazi types and whatever, you know, other hateful dickhead you can think of really can't cooperate enough to even say like, well, I like black metal and I like, you know, white nationalism and that band is black metal and white nationalism, but Hot Topic posers.
Yeah, from the days I've spent on Death Metal Underground, I can tell you that, and I do say this with love and affection, I really do, there's more infighting here than there is in feminism. Like, no one can agree on anything. There's no forthright coming, boys. They can't make it happen. They just can't organize at all, so.
I did find on that site, too, that the Death Metal Underground seems to hate Metal Archives for some reason, and I couldn't really understand why. Except it's more popular, probably.
It's a lot popular.
It is the popular.
Yeah. I don't know. Hating things that is good seems kind of par for the course with these guys. I mean, I don't know if you want to go all the way of saying that, you know, Metal Archives is good, but I would say it's not bad.
No.
I mean, it's the Wikipedia of metal. I use it, you know, for everything.
I'm sure there's, you know, something on there that's worth listening to, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
So does anyone else care to share? I don't know if anyone else had any sort of articles that they wanted to dig into.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned before, but I hate Brett Stevens. He's a cock. And I just wanted to share this excerpt of a piece because it tickled me in a way that I can't really describe. So I'm just going to read it anyway. The title of this post is called Metal Cult or Metal Christ. What does that mean? I don't know. I read the entire fucking thing. I don't know what that means. It begins. Way back in grade school, before you hit the age of sexual competition and thus got more rigorously socialized, one of the more exciting things to do was spend the night at a friend's house. I mean, there's a whole lot of pathos in that one opening sentence.
There's a lot to unpack.
But I digress. Let's move forward. This means you get spoiled by well-meaning parents. You can order pizza with all the toppings and spend the night watching scary movies on the DVD player. Number one, this guy is like fucking 50 years old. He wasn't watching scary movies on a DVD player. It was a Betamax or something like that, maybe Laserdisc. At that time of life, it's pretty cool. Although once you've moved on to bigger things, it feels like a parody of a really bad party. Who's got the ranch dressing potato chips indeed? That sentence, like, I've read you the first paragraph of that piece. I think I was missing where the ranch dressing potato chips came in, but who has them indeed?
I wonder if his life was just kind of like that recently.
I feel like it had to be that way. It
must have been. He's painting an image for me of what life could be like. All of the toppings, really? Are you sure, Mama?
I don't know. Something about sexual competition and spending the night with his friends is just... I think that it goes a long way in explaining the machismo that permeates the entire site.
Rigorous socializing.
because, I mean, the site itself is very red-pilled or... men's rights activists-isms. I don't know how you would say this. Dickheaded all throughout. So, you know, these guys are, you know, the Ubermensch are in their own mind, of course, and looking down on the weaklings that play lesser metal.
I think Axel Rosenberg said it best when he referred to it as meathead pride.
That's awesome. Also, way more poetic than anything I ever expected at Axel.
Also, because real men, real beefy manly men, refer to ranch chips as ranch dressing chips.
Ranch dressing potato chips.
You have to paint
ranch
the picture.
Dressing potato chips.
Ranch. Yeah. Right.
Please, Mom, buy me some ranch dressing potato chips.
Mommy, could you go down to the store and purchase me some ranch dressing flavored potato chips?
Brenosite, was that a Kids in the Hall reference that you were doing?
What was it, the bad dog thing?
Well, just the whole Mama thing was Mama. Yeah, the character Daryl who wanted mayonnaise on his french fries. Much like what you were doing.
I think I probably... dug into some sort of subconscious. Mama.
Subconscious Kids in the Hall.
That's right. It's in us all.
I have the box set of it, so that's why I'm still aware of Kids in the Hall bits.
Ah, lucky son of a gun.
It was like $40 on Amazon.
Yeah, I should probably pick it up. I don't think any of the streaming sites have it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Which is a damn shame, because mm-hmm. that was probably one of the best shows on television.
Yeah, and the DVDs have, like, extra, like, just their live performances. It's pretty good.
I really got to pick it up.
Oh, nice.
And they have old stuff where Kevin McDonald is still fat.
I hope that this gets on those. I hope that this is...
This is the best part of the show. Just
this is the best. Yeah, right. This is the peak. Yeah.
Scrap this entire death metal the underground shit. Oh, this podcast is about Kids in the Hall.
Oh, that'd be so good.
When Joe gets back, he's going to hear this on his recording when it's all said and done, and he's going to keep it. You better fucking keep it, Joe. You work hard on this stuff. Welcome back.
I am the worst.
We talked about Kids in the Hall a lot. A lot. This podcast, we decided this podcast is about Kids in the Hall now.
We decided the website's about Kids in the Hall now.
We decided the website is about Kids in the Hall now.
I think I've only seen, like, one Kids in the Hall sketch. Or at least that I can think of. Is the fucking guy like sitting on a lawn chair squeezing people's heads with his fingers like from a distance?
Yes. That's one of the bits.
That's all I can remember. Sorry, guys.
My favorite bit is the one where the guy is talking to all the different people that were involved in stealing his bicycle wheel.
Yeah.
I'm halfway tempted to just upload this fucking podcast as is.
As you should.
Bonus episode.
Because I super don't want to edit through all this shit. Okay, let's get back.
I'm a bikini inspector. Boy, that's a rotten job.
Shit, I don't know. I got distracted by my dog going ape shit.
So I'm new to Death Metal Underground. Was this the website that was also like anus.org or something like that?
Yeah, I think that definitely shared members. Because it's just like all pseudo-intellectual white nationalism, you know?
Well, I'll never be embarrassed about telling anyone I write for toiletofhell.com again now that anus.org or whatever it is still exists.
Wait, it still does exist. That's crazy.
What?
The more you know.
Oh, this site looks like fucking shit.
anus.org.
Appropriate.
Wow. It's like I'm seeing into the past.
So since I didn't know Death Metal Underground, I decided to just have some fun with Google and type in Death Metal Underground and racism. And that brought me to deathmetal.org/tag/racism. And I'd like to just read a couple of headlines that came up.
Please.
Exposing the hypocrisy of liberal metal journalism.
Okay.
All right.
And one part I like about this is article contributed to Death Metal Underground by Cullen Toner. There's no way that's a real name.
I don't know that any of these are real names, to be honest with you. Like Daniel Morat sounds fake as shit.
Why would you pick
Daniel? That's the type of ink cartridge that we use at work.
The old 5532 Cullen Toner. Yes, of course.
Cullen Toner.
Are your printers only specifically black?
I'm going to edit so much silence in between that joke.
So some other headlines they have. Southern Poverty Law Center says milk is racist. University of London student calls for removal of white philosophers from curriculum. What that has to do with metal, I have no idea. Hashtag Metalgate. Kim Kelly endorses white genocide.
For the record, I support white genocide as well.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag Metalgate. The AV Club gets Burzum merch pulled from Walmart. Hamilton hypocrisy. And mystified.
Wait, you could buy Burzum merch on Walmart?
Yeah, man. Yep. I wrote a post about this. You could buy, like, discharge merch from Walmart.
Well, I do have to step in just to burst all the fun. I think Walmart.com has sort of turned into some kind of amalgamation of what Amazon.com does. They have like different marketplaces and things that you can order stuff. So people actually like post stuff from all sorts of little web stores and things. So you can find all sorts of crazy shit on Walmart.
The deal with the metal thing is that it was I forget the name of the actual company itself, but it's a merch company. They have contracts with like a billion bands. So they were fulfilling. Yeah. So, I mean, still, I am incredibly tickled. And Discharge actually got super mad like 6 months after I posted. They were like, hey, no. I digress. Yeah, you can buy a Burzum shirt from Walmart. Or I guess you could before those SJWs over at the AV Club stopped it.
They ruin everything.
I love this obsession with like SJWs and like campus culture and all of this shit that like has zero to do with what they claim to enjoy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, what do you really think is going to happen when college kids have opinions? Like, what really is going to happen when somebody doesn't get to say something on a college campus? Like, how does it really hurt you?
They're gonna shut down. There's gonna be no more metal.
Yeah.
At all. It's not mm-hmm. gonna be made. Which is actually the goal of my Twitter account. I'm trying to shame everyone out of making metal.
God bless you.
So I get it. I'm working with them on that one.
We talk about this a lot. There's too much metal, and most of it's not very good. So you're doing God's work here.
Thank you.
God damn it! Like, he has these bones that he's, like, looking for, so he's just digging through my carpet in my office right now, and like, ugh! 1 second, let me try to find something.
There's got to be an All That Remains CD that he got in a promo somewhere you could toss around.
Some sort of Burzum beanie that he can chew on from Walmart.com.
So back to Kids in the Hall.
Take this this time to ask Metal Text here what he might think about this whole situation, your take. I don't know if you've probably heard about this, because the entire metal community, as far as I've seen on Twitter, saw this whole thing go down. Daniel Mallrad, as we've been talking about him before, he's kind of the mastermind of all the shit posting that goes on Death Metal Underground. And he was very gladly promoting the fact that some Death Metal Underground, whether they were readers or contributors or what, these shitheads had created a Facebook page that was mocking the birth defect of Kim Kelly, the renowned metal journalist. Her hand she has a birth deformity with it, and she's kind of was low playing it for a while, but these guys specifically created a page to openly mock her and post as many pictures of it as possible and kind of compare her to whatever monstrosities they thought were funny enough to bring up. So were you familiar with that? Did you see that kind of go down?
Yeah. I saw it. Yeah, it's super fucked up. Kim is a friend of mine in as far as I tweet obsessively at her, and every once in a while she'll fave something out of pity.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's fucked up, because I mean, Kim gets so much shit anyway. Like, no matter what, she's been getting shit for years. And then just to have that, it's just, I didn't get the point of it. It's not like she ever tried to hide it, or that it's something she's like embarrassed of. She just didn't like have it out there, because it's a you know, a thing that she lives with and she just deals with. I don't know. It's just, it was weird, because it was like, of all the shit that you're going to, that's the thing that you're going to pick on Kim Kelly for? Like,
yeah.
She posts about white genocide, which again, I am in favor of.
Right.
But like that, I don't know, I just don't get it. Like, or yell at her about her opinions about music, because then she'll actually like engage back with you and probably call you a shithead, because you probably are.
Yeah, what I found really interesting on Death Metal Underground is after Daniel Mallrat posted all these awful things, the Nazi skinhead society that is the comment section actually openly shamed him. The majority of them did. They were like, look, man, you know, there's all sorts of shit we can attack this, you know, Zionist sleeper agent for, that is Kim Kelly, but that's just harassment. That's fucking rude, dude. And I was
look man, even Nazis have standards. Come on, bro.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, man. We're skinheads. We're not monsters.
He found the line.
Yeah, right? And
the thing is, I would just love to see pictures of Daniel Mallrat. Like, I got a pretty good idea of what he looks like in my head.
I think we all do. We can kind of guess on the spectrum.
All these people, you know, they make fun of other people, and they're totally anonymous, and they have a fake Twitter avatar that's like the guy in Dark Throne with glasses on. It's dumb. Like, put yourself out there if you're gonna be doing that.
Don't use a fake cool guy name either. That's so lame.
No. I did have a really important review from Death Metal Underground that I wanted to read, if that's okay.
Yeah, please share it with us.
It's really, I mean, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know about this stuff. Like, this isn't my sort of scene. It's not like, it's not black gaze recorded with like Ray-Ban money. So I couldn't, I wasn't really sure. But so I did find a review that really spoke to me, and it's a review of Dos Equis Lager.
All right, I've heard that, Ben.
Which, yeah, they he was doing this thing. I don't know if anybody else has tried it, but it's like he's reviewing beer on a metal site.
Whoa!
It's pretty weird. He gave Dos Equis a 1 out of 5, first of all, which is not great. But I love Dos Equis. I think it's great. But so some of the quotes from this are, let's see, any pretense that this is superior to Michelob are nonsense. It is a pale shadow of its former self, made fruitier and vapid, so that the average citizen idiot, that's in caps, can bob his head while listening to the quote, edgy Ramones cover band at his local ice house, and talk up the fat women hanging like vegetative undergrowth around the bar, as everyone around him imitates past edginess in an attempt to seem like anything but the corporate stooges they are. Seriously, this is Mexican-flavored Miller Lite.
Ah, the flavor Mexico.
Every burp feels like a vomit about to happen, except it is just the taste of this bilgy-sweetened pond water masquerading as beer. Speaking of corporate stooges, this beer is undrinkable, unless you have already numbed your taste buds to the point of accepting the mediocrity as the norm.
I like Dos Equis because I can house like 100 of them when I'm, you know, out drinking. Every single line carries more pathos than the line before it. Like, he has so much to say about himself in the way he describes other people.
My favorite two sentences in this are, any pretense this is superior to Michelob are nonsense. Like, okay, drawing a line in the sand, and that line is Michelob.
That's right.
And then Mexican flavored Miller Lite, which is just, there's so much going on there. I mean, Dos Equis was started by like a German company in Mexico making like German type lager, so there's just a lot.
So would you say that he is actually a fucking poser when it comes to classification of beer?
Yeah, because I mean, I have two standards for beer, which I have beer that I can drink while watching PBS on my couch.
Right on.
And I have beer that I can drink sitting outside watching the ocean. That's it. Those are the two. That's it. Those are the two categories. Dos Equis fits both of those categories.
It's Dos Equis.
It's a 5 out of 5 beer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
There's an X for every situation.
Yeah, and he's missing the best part, in that it's like $8 for a 6-pack of tall boys.
That's right, yeah. What I find most interesting about this beer review is that at a certain point he calls out edginess in some way on Death Metal Underground, which I'm over here and my mind just went... Like, I cannot believe that this guy could call anyone out on any sort of edgelordian behavior on the
He called a Ramones cover band edgy, but it's in quotes, like, oh, you think,
oh, I
you
see.
Think the Ramones are edgy.
Yeah, you don't even
you
know.
Don't know. You don't know about Gore Guts, man.
He's saying something about himself with all of this, because nobody's thinking, like, the Ramones are edgy. Like, literally, no one has ever thought that. There's nothing edgy about it, and I think everybody knows that, but something in him at one point thought that the Ramones was edgy, so he's putting that out into the world himself.
He must be talking about how the normies feel about the Ramones and how they're like, oh, you think this is edgy? Wait till you see my library.
There's two things that normies like. Dos Equis and fat women.
I mean,
that's it.
I'm not opposed to either one of those things. Like, I guess I might be a normie.
There's two things that non-normies like, and it's... watching PBS on the couch and going outside and looking at the ocean and just making sure that during both these activities, you have a nice cold Dos Equis on hand to enjoy the moment with.
Yeah, I'm going to call you out for being a poser for going outside.
I go outside a lot. I'm not super like black metal, and that I do go outside. I do skateboard, so I'm kind of a more I'm like a Thrasher magazine from 1985.
I do take personal offense with the concept. I do take personal offense to the concept that black metalers don't go outside. I mean, some of the greatest woodland photography in the metal scene is due to some of these band photos.
I just honestly assume that like all of those photos were taken 20 years ago and they've just been recycled since then.
Yeah, Photoshop does wonders these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only like 10 people in corpse paint like in those photos. It's just, you go online, you pay a guy. And you buy, it's like stock photography. It's like black metal stock photography. There's a whole line of sets. They're like, yo, you want like a dude with an underground, like you want a guy in like a cave with a upside down cross? Or do you want like bullets and a chicken corpse? We got it. We got both.
And you can tell the guys who don't go and pay for this premium service. If you look up White Death band photos, you're going to see what happens when you don't. So black metal guys better listen up. This is where to go.
What you get, I mean, if you don't pay for your art, you know, this is what, happens.
Yeah.
We kind of lost the plot a little bit because, like, I'm a little drunk. But I wanted to get back to deathmetal.org for 1 second because I remembered this post, which is a classic of the genre. deathmetal.org post entitled hashtag Metalgate. The Blast Beat Network collapses as SJWs fragment. This post was published June 29th, 2016. We talked with Vince, one of the owners of the Blast Beat Network, a couple of weeks ago. To the best of my knowledge, the Blast Beat Network has not collapsed. I don't know.
Was really sad when Cult Nation went out of business and all their writers died.
Jordan, do you remember him mentioning anything about like SJWs like collapsing and his business crumbling?
You know, come to think of it, I don't think that came up.
What I'm saying though, this piece is a classic of the genre of being mad online, because this is another Brett Stevens piece, because of course, and he's mostly using this as an excuse to call out other writers for blocking him on Facebook. it's great. He's saying, at the same time Decibel is issuing a statement from one side of its mouth, it is guardedly defending SJW by pretending its criticism is SJW internal policing through a statement by former Krieg frontman Neil Jameson, who was the first one to block this author on Facebook after Metalgate expanded.
The first.
Not mad. Hashtag not mad.
This is another sentence from it. However, Decibel waffling, even under editor Albert Mundrian, who also blacklisted me for my anti-censorship viewpoints. He mad, man. He's mad online.
Enslaved finished recording their new album for Beardos. Sellout formerly black metal band Enslaved has finished recording another indie rock album for Nuclear Blast Records. Expect every fat guy in flannel with neck pubes to love it, almost as much as he loves the smell of putrid mayonnaise that gets stuck in the beard like little white dingleberries.
It's actually awfully descriptive writing for
But here's the thing. That's it. That's the only thing he says. And then he just posts like the news and the tour dates for Enslaved. It's like instead of just reporting on Enslaved finishing an album and the tour dates they have and everything else, and then sharing something from an Enslaved album, he has to throw this in there. And can I just say, I don't think. Go ahead.
These guys fucking suck. Check them out. in a town near you. They're coming through. They're playing your local ice house where all the fat chicks hang out. Go dig it.
Go dig it, man. It's like it's almost like Bret Stevens told him he had to go cover Enslaved, and this is kind of his public tantrum about it. But I'm just gonna say right now, I don't think this Daniel Mallrat guy, I don't think he's ever met a hipster. He kind of makes these really wild assumptions about what hipsters enjoy, not the least of which being the smell of putrid mayonnaise getting stuck in the beard.
The definition of hipster that all these guys seem to miss is a hipster is someone that's slightly younger than you and having more fun than you. And that's it.
Seems to be the case. Yeah, I think, like I referenced earlier, Daniel doesn't seem to be of this country. I'm assuming he's from some sort of strange Slavic one where he gets some sort of government-mandated tracksuit to wear, and he doesn't really know what fashion is or how that works. He says things like, oh, they go to Hot Topic, and in there they have a beer that is bacon, and it is on the unicycle, like other hipsters do, because that's what the Google told me. And it's just, I don't know, a mess of some strange European island far out somewhere that's always cold. I just imagine that's what he's dealing with.
Can I interrupt you just for a second?
Please.
because this is the best thing I've read ever on Death Metal Underground. I decided to scroll down to the comments, which is a thing that a person should never ever do on any post whatsoever. This post about Metalgate, hashtag Metalgate, the Blast Beat Network collapses as SJW's fragment. RR comments, fun fact, there's a Japanese hentai artist who uses Blast Beat as his pseudonym. He's a big Flo Mornier fan, according to his profile. I am sure he would disapprove of this nonsense as well. To which hentai aficionado replies, There's nothing happening. This clown only strings some pictures together. Nice pictures, unless you look away from the tits and realize his anatomical knowledge is so bad, he probably traces from 3D porn and then finishes with some shading tool. No soul and very little technique.
That's just
rotten. The hentai expert has logged off.
And I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
Yeah, I just, you really got to know your anatomy if you want to do that sacred art form. It's important. It really is.
I don't know. I think the hentai aficionado has given me all the info I need today.
Just about, yeah. The last article, and then I will be quiet forever. And this one is probably the most... Who snickered? Who did that? And this is the most important one. There is a tag for beards for Death Metal Underground, because of course there is. It is a, it's something I stumbled on by accident. It's a couple years old, but it's really something. The title of the article is "For Those of Us Who Steadfastly Refuse to Follow the Beard Trend." And it is the gentleman's art of wet shaving. For those of us who steadfastly refuse to follow the beard trend, like it or not, beards are trendy. Thanks, hipster scum. Shaving is an everyday routine that, at times, feels like a chore rather than a pleasurable experience. It doesn't need to be this way. With a small investment of $40 to $50, you can turn your daily shave into a pleasurable ritual that takes you back to a simpler time when gentlemen prided themselves on a clean, close shave. If this interests you, throw your disposable multi-blade razor and chemical-filled shaving cream in the trash and embrace the gentleman's
definitely
art
like
wet shaving.
This is definitely sponsored like Harry's.com.
Dollar Shave Club.
It's very art of manliness.
Art of Shaving is actually the wet shave company. Yeah, they probably... Right. They were like, how can we reach more Nazis?
Yeah. Well, what I found most interesting about this article is that... it's like he is refusing to follow the beard trend. Like it or not, beards are trendy. So it's like these guys over here on Death Metal Underground, they need to stay hip on not being hip. Like they have to just like make sure that they're in the know so they can update themselves in order to stay dorky at all possible times so as not to be confused with like good-looking people.
It's all goes back to this reactionary bed-shitting viewpoint.
There that is again.
If you see anybody doing anything, you have to immediately void your bowels in your underoos and yell about it.
Underoos. That's a hard.
Does bed shitting come up all the time on this podcast?
I'd say at least
it is the toilet.
Yeah, at least 30% of our content is bed shit.
It blows my mind that it's like if you're counterculture and you're like, okay, I'm a metal dude. I grew a huge beard so that people know I'm scary. And then big, huge beards become fashionable. I feel like if you're really gonna stay true to yourself and not care, the best thing to do would be to just, you know, stay with it and wait it out and just fucking be yourself and not worry so much. It's like if the counterculture becomes culture, then don't counter the counterculture with culture. It's like I'm gonna go shave like a nice baby-faced professional now because I don't want to ever be confused with anybody who might be cool for a fucking second.
You could also just wear a fucking burlap sack and never bathe or cut your hair in any way.
You mean like Daniel Mulrat?
Yeah. You know, whip yourself to appease the gods of pain and metal. Basically become a super orthodox fringe form of Christian.
Oh, I can't wait. Sounds like a blast.
Anyway, is there anything else we'd like to say about this topic before we put it to bed? To shit on
it. I'd like to say what I learned this week.
Oh, please do.
Dos Equis is the beer of choice to go with ranch dressing chips.
Seems like science to me.
Well, it's a good combo. I learned a lot about bed shitting. I learned that there's a website called Anus. Didn't know about that. That's about it. I didn't really learn a lot or really enrich myself through this process.
I'm gonna
go watch some basketball and never acknowledge that this happened.
No. I would make sure to crack open a nice amber cold Dos Equis and enjoy that basketball, my friend.
I'm gonna drink a bunch of Dos Equis.
That's right.
I'm gonna eat a bunch of ranch dressing potato chips.
Dressing. It's important.
And block all of you on Twitter.
Crack a cold one with the boys for me, because we are done for this episode. Thanks so much for joining me today, Metal.Text.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.